Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
How can Christians engage the culture on topics like science, politics, depression, sexuality, personhood, and more? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Faith That Engages the Culture. It's written by regular guest Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. Faith That Engages the Culture is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Faith That Engages the Culture. Very famous words from the book of Deuteronomy about keeping God's statutes. When you sit down, when you rise up, when you walk in the way, they'll be bound to your hand and between your eyes, and you speak of them with your children all day long, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And those famous words come from Moses' farewell address, his final sermon to the children of Israel as they prepare to enter the promised land that God had given to them. What else can we learn about that farewell address that helps us understand how God would have us even today as the Old Testament children of Israel immersed in his word? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series Through the Old Testament in a Church Year continues. Dr. Ken Sherb joins us. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a CD series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, welcome back.
Hey, Todd, long time no talk.
Refresh our memory, if you would. What did we talk about last time?
Toward the end of Israel's 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the people were now approaching the promised land and defeating mighty kings and their armies right and left, of course, with the help of the Lord. And so, seeing all that, Balak, the king of Moab, determined that he was going to sort of fight fire with fire. He was going to attack Israel not with his army, he was going to attack supernaturally. And so he recruited a famous sorcerer, a man by the name of Balaam, to curse Israel. Now, as Balaam was on his way to Balak with Balak's messengers who had gone to fetch him, three times the angel of the Lord blocked the way, got right in the path of Balaam and his donkey. And in fact, this was the occasion when God famously made the donkey actually speak to Balaam. And of course, the implication is, if God can do that, if God can make this donkey talk, then he could certainly make Balaam say, well, whatever he, the Lord, wanted Balaam to say. So in Numbers 23 and 24, there would be a total of three times when Balak, the king, expected Balaam, the sorcerer, to curse Israel. But Balaam always ended up blessing Israel. I mean, like Balaam said, how could he curse the people whom God had blessed? Well, after that third try to curse Israel, and it turns out to be a blessing for Israel, Balak the king fires Balaam the sorcerer. And as a parting shot to Balak, Balaam then said the greatest thing he had said yet. He said, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." These words foretold the coming Christ, the bright morning star, as he's called. He's a warrior, a ruler, a victor who will vanquish his enemies. This, of course, Todd, was another Old Testament prophecy of the Messiah, even though it was given by a most unlikely person.
So what has happened in Old Testament history between then and what we're going to talk about today?
Well, the story of Balaam does not end on that great high note with Balaam giving that great messianic prophecy. Before the Israelites left their camp where they were on the plain of Moab, Balaam actually got Midianite women to tempt Israelite men into worshiping a false god and joining in the various sexual rites that that kind of worship entailed. And unhappily, many of the Israelite men just went right along with this. One even sinned sexually with a Midianite woman right near Moses. Well, at length, Israel sent out 12,000 soldiers, 1,000 from each tribe, against the Midianites. And five Midianite kings were captured and killed, along with a lot of Midianite men, and also Balaam the sorcerer. Israel, for its part, did not lose a single man. So now Israel is swinging east of the Jordan River. It's been through Moab, it's been through Ammon, it's about to cross the river to enter the Promised Land. And as they're on that kind of final approach, people in two of the tribes of Israel, namely Reuben and Gad, got so impressed with that land through which they were moving that they asked whether they could just settle right there. And Moses got worried. He was concerned that they were going to shirk their duty to help with the conquest of the Promised Land. They really, he feared, were starting yet another rebellion against the Lord. But when it became clear that these tribes were, in fact, going to do their part in the conquest, Moses ended up giving instructions to Eleazar, the high priest. Eleazar is the high priest now because his father, Aaron, had just died. So Moses gives instructions to Eleazar and to Moses' own designated successor, Joshua, about how to handle the settlement of these tribes, Reuben and Gad, along with half of the tribe of Manasseh, to the east of the Jordan in the future.
That brings us to Moses' farewell address, and here's a sampling from Deuteronomy chapter 11. Moses says, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking with them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known." So what concern is the Lord addressing through Moses in this farewell address?
Israel now, Todd, is about to enter the Promised Land, and as the Lord promised, this land was a good land. It was going to be rich. And as they walked around, the Israelites would see all that it had to offer, and they would be less and less likely to think about the Lord on a day-to-day basis. I mean, they're settled in the Promised Land. They would be kind of getting back to what you might call normal. And so their total dependence on the Lord was not going to be as evident as it was, well, say when they had the Pharaoh's army rushing at them and the Lord opens up a way for them to get across the sea on dry ground. They were definitely dependent upon the Lord then. Or when he was feeding them quite evidently day by day with manna in the wilderness. But now, in the land, they would be prone, again, to just kind of get into a groove of normal activity and forget about him. So the Lord made it clear that he was setting before them both a blessing and a curse. They may have been dazzled by all the riches and the variety of stuff that they would encounter in the Promised Land, but the only true God wanted them to keep in mind that there are but two ways, blessing or curse. There's no middle way, there's no middle path, no way to kind of average out the two somewhere in between. And you may recall that after Israel settled in Canaan, I mean for years, for centuries after, the prophets were repeatedly reminding them that they were to worship the Lord, not try to worship both the Lord and idols at the same time. There's only two ways, but only one of those is the way of blessing. So early on in this farewell speech that we call the Book of Deuteronomy, Moses had reminded Israel that the Lord is God. There is no other besides him. God and God alone remains the source of blessing. The world may look like it offers a lot of alternatives, but there is truly only two ways in the great big wide world, either the way to the one Creator God or the path that takes you away from Him. And if people are going to be with the Lord, there's no two ways about it. There is really only one way of blessing, the Lord's way.
So this point remains completely applicable today, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's many, many ways to miss a target, and there have been over the centuries. We can be drawn away from the Lord these days by fun, by money, by sex, or by all sorts of things that may be deemed a lot more respectable than those. And, Todd, now as then, false gods simply do not come in short supply. We are tempted by them. We're tempted to think, well, I won't give up on the Lord, but I'll make room for this other thing too. But the point, as you say, remains for us. There are only two ways in this world. And of course, the Lord reiterated that point throughout the rest of the Old Testament, not just here in the book of Deuteronomy. I mean, in Proverbs, God often contrasted the way of the wise with the way of fools. There's only two ways. Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. I mean, to be with the Lord, there's just no two ways about it. And we need to remember this just as much as Israel did. I remember, Todd, one time I was talking with a guy who said, oh, there's so many religions in the world, but really, most of them are taking people in the same direction. And I said, yeah, they are taking people in the same direction, the wrong one, the way that leads away from God to hell. That's where the world's quote-unquote religions take you. However many ways we try to go away from the Lord or go around the Lord, it really all amounts to one big dead end. The various human attempts even to go to God fall into that same dead-end category. I mean, whether we're trying to be moral and behave our way to God, or smart and speculate our way to God, or mystical and feel our way to God. The Scripture says, the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe.
I would note that in that very passage, Paul wrote the word given. What about Moses in his farewell address? Is he emphasizing the gifts of God?
Yeah, Moses was, really, because the Lord's way of blessing is the way of gift. Moses told the people of Israel that God had chosen them completely as a gift. I mean, it was altogether due to his love. It wasn't because they were stronger or more numerous than the other nations. Luther commented on that passage and said, this is the pure and unalloyed meaning of the first commandment. We should deem ourselves to be as nothing as regards our merit, but to have, receive, and find power to do everything only by His mercy and love, to His glory. And similarly in the New Testament, Todd, Paul wrote the Romans that even though all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, yet they are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. On account of Christ, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, that is to say, apart from all the strivings of sinners. For God has His own way. It's the only way to blessing. It's in Christ. In Christ, God gave until way past the point where it hurt. He made Jesus that blood sacrifice for all of our sin and guilt, for all of our travels on the way that leads away from God. God Himself remains righteous. He punishes sin and sinners by nailing His Son to the cross in our place. But at the same time, in this very way, He saves guilty sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's no two ways about it. This, and this alone, is the way that gives all the glory to God.
We're talking about Moses' farewell address in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and he's author of a series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. He's also a graduate of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or by calling 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. On the other side, Moses makes a big deal about his people living in God's Word. Why is that?
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Clear, concise, consistent. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm delighted to be chairman of Preach the Word Project, a project of our Synod to strengthen the preaching of all of us pastors in the Synod. We know how eternally important that is.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Fekencher talking about the new Preach the Word Project.
So we've put together a program of 12 modules that will be coming out this year and over the next 3 years on a variety of preaching topics for pastors to do together with two other pastors, two guys they trust, two guys they feel comfortable with, written materials and very fine video quality materials that are now becoming available.
Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching with several resources and by interacting with seminary professors and fellow preachers. Find out more at lcms.org/preachtheword. lcms.org/preachtheword. Preaching is challenging business. We all can use some fresh ideas. lcms.org/preachtheword. It's our series, Through the Old Testament in a Church Year. We're talking about Moses' farewell address in Deuteronomy chapter 11 with Dr. Ken Scher. So Ken, in this address, Moses insists that God's people live in God's Word. Why is that?
Well, the Lord himself had put his people on the way of blessing, and he did so through the Word. And it's very similar for us today, Todd. I mean, God gave us new birth by his Holy Spirit through water and the Word in baptism. He has continued to nurture us on his Word as he nurtured Israel of old. You know, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We know that passage from the New Testament when Jesus quoted it against the devil in the temptation, but the passage is from Deuteronomy. By the Lord's Word, he works a work, and he continues to work that work, and it's nothing short of miraculous. At one point in Deuteronomy, God, through Moses, told the people to circumcise not only their bodies, but also their hearts. But by the end of Deuteronomy, the Lord was promising that he himself would circumcise their hearts. Now, he does that through his word. And in the same way, God calls upon us to repent, to turn from the road that leads away from him. And it turns out that he is the one who grants the repentance. And he does that through his word for us. Through his law, he shows our desperate situation apart from him. And then through the gospel, he gives us the answer to our need as only he could give it in Christ. Now, Luther connected this focus on the word to the Lord's insistence, in Deuteronomy anyway, that the Israelites worship only how and where the Lord had provided, which was sacrifices going on in only one place. Luther wrote, God wants our conscience to be certain and sure that it is pleasing to him. This cannot be done if it is led by its own feeling, but only if it relies on the Word of God. Therefore, if they should worship God in a place chosen by themselves, even if they pleased themselves thereby, nevertheless, they would not be sure they were pleasing God.
So, as you pointed out, ancient Israel had those commands about worshiping in a particular place. The church today doesn't have such commands. Is that applicable to us?
Well, there are applications we can make, because also in Deuteronomy, God told his people to be occupied with himself and with his name, his words, and his way all the time. And that's true for us when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. This is what to talk about. This is what to teach your children. Talk about Jesus and his love for sinners. Talk about the compassion he showed, the terrible death he died under the curse of God. For cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. That passage is also from Deuteronomy. And all of that for Christ's work was for us as our substitute. And, of course, talk about the victory that Christ won as our champion when he rose from the dead. With great anticipation, talk about his coming again to bring us into the fullness of his presence. We can talk about all of these things, and then everything else looks a lot easier, because there is just one way of blessing, and it's Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Now that he has completed his work, he sends out his word far and wide. Anything else ends up just being the way of curse. Christ comes to us today, bringing us the blessings of his cross and resurrection through his word and sacraments. And that's what he gives us at church, in church services, and we cling to that.
So you usually give us a little true-false review. Do one of those for us now.
True or false? Through Moses' farewell speech in Deuteronomy, the Lord made it clear that there are only two ways in this world, the way of curse and the way of blessing. True. And I think we've repeated that often enough, you should have known that that was true. True or false? In Deuteronomy, Moses told Israel that it had to keep earning its way into being God's people. Absolutely false. Moses made the point to the Lord speaking through him that it wasn't because they were bigger, stronger, or anything like that than the other people that the Lord had chosen them. He had chosen them in his love. This was an act of grace. True or false? The Lord told his people to circumcise their hearts, not that he would circumcise their hearts. False. Actually, the Lord had said early on in the book that they should circumcise their hearts, but by the end of the book, he was saying that he would circumcise their hearts. He's giving them that very repentance that he was requiring of them, and that's another sign of his grace. True or false? We can worship God in only one place. False. This, in part, is a difference between Old Testament and New Testament times. In Old Testament times, yeah, there was this one place where sacrifices were to be offered, the tabernacle, then later the temple. In the New Testament, now that Christ has done the work of paying for the sin of the world as the one and only propitiatory sacrifice in history, the word of God and the word of the gospel goes out far and wide. But the worship of God in the New Testament is still located in particular places. It's where God's word is proclaimed, his sacraments are administered. Now, that location is portable. You can take the word and sacraments, say, to a hospital room or to the room of a shut-in or something like that. But the word is where God is imparting his blessings.
Why is our discussion today about the book of Deuteronomy really appropriate for the Epiphany season?
Well, we've been putting this discussion today in the kind of terms that Deuteronomy uses, that of blessing and curse. But usually in Epiphany, and in the language of the kind of passages that we encounter very often in Epiphany, that same point is made talking in somewhat different ways, like about the difference between darkness and light. We have passages like, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light," or, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness will cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you." Well, whatever the precise terminology, it's the same point, this contrast. There are but two ways in the world, and there really are no two ways about it. Christ, God in man made manifest, he's the way. Even the things we think we know about God apart from Him will only end up taking us away from God. So we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. The truly wise are those who, by the power of God's word, have faith in Christ. By faith, they know God.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship, and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of a CD series of sermons titled The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year. Ken, thanks.
We got one more talk to go this week, Todd. I'm looking forward to it.
When we come back, Dr. Kevin Golden will conclude our series on the sacred names of God. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.